Mark with me, Mark chapter 4, as you can see on the screen. We'll talk about the storm will pass. Anybody going through a storm this morning? Anybody going through more than one storm? Is anybody so beat up that you just gave up on the sun completely? We go through storms in life. We all want to battle it. I don't care how saved we are, how holy we live, we're going to have storms. And we're going to encounter things that we don't plan on, things we don't expect, things we don't desire. But the good news is that we will pass through the storm, and we will pass to the other side. That's a promise and a hope we have in God's word. We're going to read Mark 4, verses 35 through 41, and then we'll go through, and I'll make some points. I've got some PowerPoints with some points with different scriptures. But Mark 4, beginning with verse 35, this is when Jesus quiets the sea, stills the storm. The same day when the even was come, he saith unto them, let us pass over unto the other side. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him, even as he was in the ship, and there were also with him other little ships. Now, a point I want to make on that is, it kind of just hit me when I was doing it. I've read this many times and taught it before, but there was other ships with him. So do you think the authority he spoke over his own ship included the other ships with him? I'd say it would, wouldn't it? So not only did his authority speak to the ship he was in with his disciples, but also when he said, let's pass to the other side, that was including all the other people with him, all the other little ships. So God's authority, I know, was spoken over all that were with him. And I think that's a good point to make. I think it's important we claim our family for God, and that, you know, that we're saved. Maybe our family's not. And we begin to say, Lord, I speak the word over my whole family, not just me, but over my whole family, that they follow you as well. So I thought that was just a good point, that all the ships were part of this proclamation. We're going to cross the other side. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship so that it was now full. And he was in the hinder part, talking about Jesus, of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they awake him and said unto him, Master, carest not that we perish? And he arose and rebuked the wind, and said unto the sea, peace, that means silence. Be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, why are ye so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? And they feared exceedingly, and said one to another, what manner of man is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him? Let's pray, please. Father, as we go in this word today, I pray hearts are open. God, I pray hearts are open to hear, not just hear a message, and that was a good message, and that entertained me, and that was nice. But God, I want to get deep into their hearts where revelation is birthed. Let this message bring revelation, bring breakthrough, bring healing as it is taught today. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. We know this story. Most of us have read this. Maybe as a child, you read it in Sunday school. But Jesus got in the boat. He'd been preaching. He'd been ministering. He got in the boat, and he told his disciples, let's cross to the other side. He spoke it. Now, nothing could change what he said. If we could realize nothing can change God's word, we'd walk in more peace and victory. Because I don't care what the world says, it can't change God's word. I don't care what anybody says, it can't change God's word. I don't care what the enemy whispers, it can't change God's word. God's word is infallible, it's immovable, it's unshakable. It is the word of God, and it cannot be changed. I don't care how many scientists try to make that sun move, it ain't going to move unless God says for it to move. I don't care how much technology, how much missiles they shoot up there, whatever they want to try to create, it cannot change because God spoke that sun to stand, and nothing can make it move unless God says for it to move. This storm is going to pass. Look at my point one I have here. This just goes along with the actual whole passage we just read. The devil will fabricate and send obstacles to distract and discourage, but he cannot change the course God has set. I want you to really get that in there. You're going to be distracted, like I am now. You're going to be distracted. But the course God has set cannot be changed. I get distracted pretty easy. I got some probably ADD, so I don't take much to get me distracted. He's going to come all he can to try to disrupt our walk. He's going to whisper, God's not in this. God's not for you. God doesn't love you. If God was this, he'd do this. If God was doing that, he'd do that. That's all fabricated lies of the enemy to try to make you believe that you're not where you're supposed to be. But God, if he has set a course for you, all hell can't change that because God has ordained it into your life. He has spoken it. He has established it. Now, we can run. Yes, we can run. But I promise you, we cannot outrun what God has planned for us. We might for a while, but we will eventually surrender, because we will surrender to the plan He has. So don't let distractions deceive you into thinking that you're not in the right place. If God has set a course, and on that course, many things happen. You remember the Wizard of Oz, the Yellow Brick Road? A lot of distractions, right? All Dorothy wanted was to go back to Kansas. Her whole thing was she hit the ground from that tornado, and the little munchkins, whatever, started talking about, you know, where to go, who to go see. All her purpose was to go see the wizard. That's all she wanted. But along the way, things happened, didn't it? An old rusty robot. Yeah, Tin Man, I know. I'm just saying robot. An old Tin Man. And then a poor old scarecrow with no brains. That slowed her up. Then a lion that was not king of the jungle but was scared of his own tail. That distracted her. Then there was some flying monkeys, wasn't there? And some witches. And I mean, all kinds of things try to distract her. But all she had to remember, follow the yellow brick road. Follow the yellow brick road. Follow the yellow brick road. That's all she needed to remember, was follow the yellow brick road. They didn't say there would be distractions along the way. Just follow the yellow brick road. If we would just follow the road God has laid out for us, there's going to be distractions. There's going to be battles. I don't care how, you know, as parents, I guess the most precious thing we have, of course, are our children. And sometimes they make us proud. Sometimes we're like, really? But you know what? All of us are going to be hit with that. Through our kids or through our marriages. I mean, as great a marriage as me and Melanie have, it's pretty good most days. 5 out of 7 days is pretty good. That's better than most, right? Our marriage is pretty good. But there are storms in our marriage. There's attacks. Just because I'm a preacher and she sings and we have a church doesn't mean there ain't no storms. I promise you. And sometimes she's the storm. And sometimes I'm the storm. I know. And we both are storms. It's bad. I mean, the kids just get out of the way. So we have issues. We argue. I promise, we have battles. And she's smart-mouthed to me sometimes and puts me down. And sometimes I'm a little snappy with her. We have issues. We have issues with our kids. They don't even Christian don't always want to listen. I know, the good kid, right? Even she don't want to listen. So we all have our battles. We all have our storms. That's part of life. I mean, that's just how it is. But if we realize that we are going to pass through this storm, we may suffer death and loss and pain and sickness, but we're going to pass through this storm because Christ is in us and He has overcome the world, the Bible says. And so why do we worry? We're going to cross. It never always rains. The sun always comes back out. And your son's going to come back out too. I promise you. Go to the next slide. The devil, now look at this. This is important to understand. The devil has no authority to change the course God has set. Go to the next slide. Here's a verse to prove that. Matthew 28:18. Jesus came and spake to them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. Not the devil. I've got the power. All power in the spirit realm, in the natural realm. I've got it. Now go, can you go back one? Go back again to that slide? I don't want to mess you up, I know. Go back to one slide. Yes. The devil has no authority to change the course God has set. Here's what happens. You might say, well, Pastor, I'm way off course, man. I disagree with that. But you're not off course because of the devil. You're off course because you have failed to follow God. We allow the devil to come in with distractions and with lies. Remember, he's the father of lies. That's the only way he can operate in our lives is through lies. That's the only way he can live is through lies. When he whispers, you're never going to change. You ever hear that voice? You're never going to change. You'll always be the way you are. You'll never make it. Nobody's going to ever love you. This is just who it's going to be. You're going to have a miserable life until the day you die. That's lies from the devil. Lies. You're sick. You're going to die. There's no healing for you. You're never going to get healed from this or that. That's all lies from the devil. And the only way he gets a foothold in the Christian's life is when we believe the lie more than the truth. God works in truth. God works in lies. I mean, devil works in lies. Just see if y'all was listening. God works in truth. And so that's how he gets a hold of us. And man, we buy into that lie sinker and hook, don't we? All of us, we buy into those lies. And why do we listen to that? Because it's harder to walk in faith. Because faith requires that we don't look at our circumstances. Faith requires we don't look at our checkbook. Faith requires we don't look at what the doctor report says. Faith requires we don't look at what the news says, what politicians say. Faith requires that we look at something deeper than what we see with these natural eyes. So it's harder to live that way. So when the devil comes along, yeah, you know. I mean, even the spirit realm, we see a change. We see a shift where people are being deceived spiritually and where a lot of lukewarm, weak messages are being proclaimed and the power of the gospel is not being preached quite like it was, and more tolerance and acceptance of people and this and that is now the new norm. And we're buying into that lie. I mean, there is still, according to this word of God, only one way to the kingdom of God, and that's through Jesus Christ, period. And there are a lot of people that aren't teaching quite that anymore. So what do? We don't believe the lie. We believe the truth. God, you said you're the only way. You said, I am the way, the truth, the life. I am the way. I am the way, the truth, and the life. That's what we believe. So do not listen to the devil. He has no authority to change your course. All right, Jeremy, go to the next one and the next one. The devil will try to alter or change your course, but if God has spoken it, it can't be changed. My pastor, growing up as a young man, spoke into my life on more than one occasion. He spoke into my life prophetic words. When I was 8 and 9 years old, he was already speaking into my life that you are going to work in ministry, that God's got a call for you in ministry. I was a little boy. And that word came forth as truth. The devil tries to alter. Of course he tries to alter. I had a retail career, man. I was happy. I thought that's what I would do. Mm-mm. Changed it. You know, I thought I would just, you know, help out my pastor. Changed it. Now I'm here with y'all. Thanks. I'm glad. I love y'all. So here I am. And God had already spoken it. Had spoken it. My mom, I remember, told me that when she was carrying me that she began to pray over my life. Put her hand on her little belly, her old 90-pound frame at that time. Put her hand on her belly and began to speak over my life in the womb. Speaking the words that couldn't be changed when they're spoken under the power of the Holy Spirit. There's a difference now in saying, you know what? Praise God, I want to go home. In the name of Jesus, a Lexus 350 in my driveway waiting on me. Hallelujah! I'm not talking about that kind of prophecy. That's not from the Holy Ghost. That's from you. But when the Holy Spirit inspires a word, you can bank on it. Church, you can put it in the bank. It's going to come to pass. If it's spoken through the power and inspiration of the Holy Spirit, it is truth. And the devil's going to try to alter your course, try to change your course. But if God has spoken it, it can't change. Here's proof. Look at the next slide. This is the book of Jonah. We know Jonah. What happened to Jonah? Jonah 1 and 1. Now the word of the Lord came to Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness is come up before me. Now, that's what happened to Jonah? Swallowed by a fish, right? Then what happened to Jonah? Huh? He got spit out. Then what did he do? He preached. Because God told him to. He took the long road to Georgia. That's all I'm saying. I mean, he took the backwoods. God came to him and said, go preach to Nineveh. Jonah got a ship going the opposite way to try to run from that call. But the storm came, rattled his boat. He knew why the storm came. He knew it was his fault. He told him, said, just throw me off the ship and everything will be fine. We can't do that, man. We can't do that. So he started throwing everything else off, praying. And finally, they said, all right, I guess you are the problem. We don't want to throw you over, Jonah, but, you know, we don't want to die either. So, see you. Jonah goes overboard, and then God prepared. And I know, now, I understand, a lot of people, I'm talking about Christians, don't believe this was an actual story. I've had a lot of people smarter than me let me know in no uncertain terms that this was a, what's the word, allegorical and not really happened. It was just as an example. And I'm still just an Iredell County Statesville preacher, and I just believe there was a fish. I believe it happened like the Word of God says, and I just, that's what I believe. So if you can't believe that, that's your belief. But as for me and my house, we're going to believe that he got swallowed by a fish. So they tossed him over. God had prepared this great ocean creature, and it probably didn't look like Moby Dick, but it was an ocean creature that swallowed Jonah whole. He was in the belly of that whale for 3 days, and then God, he finally cried out. I mean, I would too, wouldn't you? All right, God, you win. I mean, this ain't worth all this. I'll go preach. I'll preach, God, okay? Just get me out of here. So he directs this fish to shore. The Bible says it throws him up. He comes out on shore, hopefully takes a shower first, and then he marches to Nineveh, and he still preached. So if God has spoken something to you, it can't be changed. He's going to fulfill his plan. He's going to fulfill his word. It's like King David. David was nowhere in line to be king. He was the last of Jesse's sons. He was so last that his father didn't even bring him to be seen before the prophet. And the prophet said, somebody's missing. You got anybody else out there? Is this all your sons? Well, I got one more, but you don't want him. Well, bring him to me. See, David, all along, God had a course for David. Though he was a shepherd boy, though he was the last in line, though he wasn't anywhere close to being king, his course was set by God to be the future king. And he come before Samuel, and Samuel immediately said, that's the one. Can you imagine his father? Really? But look at him. I mean, really? You don't want John or Michael or Timothy or you want this one? He's a kid. He's tended sheep. He has no military experience. He don't have broad shoulders. He's not 6'3". Are this the one you want? He's way down the totem pole. He's way down the totem pole. Sometimes I get my words transferred backwards. For some reason. Mama should have gave me another phonics lesson. Way down the totem pole and wasn't anywhere close, but that's the plan God had set. Remember Samson? God told Samson's mother, you have a seed in you. He shall be a Nazarite. You will raise him that way, train him that way. He will be a judge unto Israel. Here comes Samson out of the womb. And he was. He was a Nazarite. Now, he broke the rules, but he was still a Nazarite. He still was a judge of Israel, even though he messed up a lot. He still fulfilled the plan of God and still did great miracles and still was recorded as a hero of the faith in Hebrews. So what God, of course, he sets, church, no matter what storm comes, it can't change the course. God, it doesn't mean you're not going to go through storms. You're going to go through storms. You know, I've been married 21 years, raised 3 children, still raising 2.5 of them because they're almost out, one of them. And I'm telling you, there are storms. As a pastor, there are storms. As a man, there are storms. Just as a person, there are storms. And it's how we react to that and respond to that that dictates our course. Do we give up? And do we just say, okay, storm, you win? Or do we realize it's temporary? Every storm is temporary. Every storm. Now, I know there are some things that we always carry. You lose a child. You lose a loved one. There's always a piece of you that's there. But it does get better. And you do move forward. And you do see the sun again. It's not hopeless, I promise. Go to the next slide, Jeremy. You need to allow your faith to see God more than you allow your fear to see the devil. Fear can only operate in the absence of faith. What are we seeing? How are we living our lives? When we live in fear, it's because we're focused on the enemy. If we're living in faith, we're focused on God. Once again, faith's harder to operate in because we got pain in our body. That's what I feel. I have no money in my checkbook. That's what I see. There's no food in my pantry. My car broke down. My basement flooded. And 3 or 4 of those things we're going through now. So we see those storms. And we see those battles. And we see those things come. And what are we going to listen to? The fear of the devil reminding us of all the bad stuff? Or are we going to anchor our faith? What's happened to many Christians? We've lost our faith. I mean, I'm talking about walking in our faith, not our salvation, but we've lost our faith in God that He's still faithful no matter what I see or what I go through. Nothing changes who God is. No storm and no battle is going to ever change who God is. He's faithful. Yes, you're going to have battles. Please let nobody deceive you, especially if you're a new Christian or when you give your life to the Lord. Many Christians are deceived in thinking that everything's hunky-dory. We're still going to have many battles in this earth, many fights in this life. God's people get sick. God's people lose loved ones. God's people have financial problems. That's part of this life. But if we realize that it's only a passing storm that we will get through and we'll look back and we're like, man, God, you brought me through that. You know, Melanie lost two people, the closest in her life, in a 3-year span. It was a bad 3 years for her. Lost two people in her life that were the closest emotional attachment she had. And it was a bad battle. But she's told me since, even during that time, how there was a peace she couldn't really explain, that she should be a wreck. She should be in some hospital probably. But somehow she's just okay. You know what that is? It's the anchor of God in her darkness, holding her, grounding her, letting her not be moved by the grief to such a point she couldn't function and couldn't live. Somehow, God showed up right in time for her to give her what she needed. And God is there in our storm, whether we see Him or not. He is there. He's not going to let us be destroyed. If we're saved, we can't be destroyed. See, the Bible says in 1 Corinthians that we should serve God, you know, serve God with our body. Our spirit and our body belongs to the Lord. Our spirit and our body. Our flesh and our spirit. Our whole life belongs to God. So, what do we fear? If God is for us, the Bible says, who can be against us? Nobody. The Bible, Jesus says, be afraid of the one that can not the one that can hurt you physically, but the one that can take your soul to hell. Be afraid of the one that can hurt your soul. That's all that really matters. All that really matters, church, is us getting through this storm called life and crossing the other side. Do you know that the earth and the kingdom is symbolic to me of Egypt and the promised land? That we're in Egypt right now. We're enslaved to the sin nature as far as death, sickness, aging, pain, torment, discouragement. All that's part of the sin nature. And right now we're in Egypt. But we're moving forward day by day. We're on our journey like they were coming out of Egypt day by day. And then when our time comes, when the trumpet sounds for us, we will be in our promised land. And we will cross over forevermore, never to return to where we are now. So we're in Egypt right now. But the good news is they didn't stay in Egypt. Praise God, they crossed over. And they went right to where God said they would. And they established in the land God had waiting on them. He has a land waiting on us called the kingdom that is established and waiting in each one of us that passes on, that's saved by the blood. We inherit that land and we walk into that promise. And there is no fear of leaving this behind. I can guarantee you that there is no fear. And the older you get, the less fearful you become of that because you're ready to see Jesus. Like Melanie said, I mean, we, you know, like Don said too, you know, prepared but not ready. You know, we won't be prepared, but we're not ready to leave the earth yet. There's things to do here in life. But there will be a day we will be prepared and ready, and we'll be waiting on that day. And we'll be calling out, Jesus, take me home. Jesus, I'm ready to see you. And all of our sorrows will be laid down. Because He has waiting on us. Our storm will end forever. Here's the verse, 2 Timothy 1:7. For God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. God gives us authority, He gives us love, and He gives us a sober mind of clear understanding. Our minds should not be tossed to and fro with every wind of doctrine. Our minds shouldn't be so easily beset with fear and discouragement. Our minds shouldn't so quickly just shift into a gear of, you know what? I'm gone. I'm just so away from where I was. A sound mind means we retain God's word, we retain God's knowledge, we retain God's truth, and no matter what storm comes, we stay the course. We stay the course. The devil's the one that brings fear. Here's a tidbit to maybe help you, it helps me. Whenever you feel fear hit you, it's not God. And that should give you a lot of peace. That's not God. When fear hits your life, recognize that's the enemy, and the enemy has no power over me because I belong to God. And nothing can happen to me unless God allows that. God has me. And the devil can't touch that without God's authority. We are in Christ Jesus. He is in us. Do not be distracted and discouraged with every wind of storm that comes your way. We're going to pass through. You may have made a lot of mistakes. You may regret what you've done. Don't stay in that regret. Move forward. Don't allow that regret to keep you bound, but let it go. Say, God, I can't change it. It's done. I can only move forward. And allow God to move you forward. If we stay in the land of yesterday, we never walk into the land of tomorrow. It's very important we understand that. Amen. Thank you. At least somebody's amen to me in here. Some of y'all are about half asleep on me. I can't believe it. This is a message to change your life. My goodness. Next verse. So how do we increase our faith? How do we increase it? Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Nobody wants to hear the word of God no more. They want to do everything else on the weekends. Every excuse. Man, you'll work 90 hours Monday through Friday, but man, you can't get out of bed on Sunday. Well, I got to fix this. I got to fix it some other time. Give God an hour. Are you kidding me? How much news we watch, movies we watch, TV we watch, internet articles we read, everything we put into our mind that's not God. And then we expect our faith to be built up. No, our faith built up by hearing the word of God. What does that mean? It means you got to hear what God said to you. Hear what his word says. Greater is he that's in you than that's in the world. That's in the Bible. Do you know that? That's in the Bible, your Bible. It says, greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. That's scripture. It also says, you are more than conquerors through Christ, which strength. That's in your holy Bible. Did you know it? Read it. That's what builds your faith up. The devil can't touch you if you're covered by the blood. It has to pass you by. Our word is filled. This word is filled with truth that'll set you free. Set you free. 1 Peter 2:24, by his stripes you are healed. Healed in every way. Healing means made whole. Every way, emotionally, physically, spiritually, mentally. You are made whole because of the price Jesus paid. We are redeemed, the Bible says, from the curse of the law. We are saved by grace. It is a gift of God, lest any man boast. I mean, there's all kinds of scriptures that will build your faith. But we have to know it. The only way we know it, and I'm going to tell you, the best way to get your faith built up is still the old-timey way. You know what it's called? Preaching. I mean, it's still the best way. We can go and read all the books we want, but it's still the most important and impactful avenue is for people to hear the preaching of the Word of God under the power of the Holy Spirit. That's what delivers and heals and sets free. That's what changes things, is the preaching of the gospel. Call it old-fashioned, call it non-technology, but a microphone in a building is still the best way to proclaim the gospel of Jesus. People will travel miles, spend hundreds of dollars to hear speakers or to see a concert or to see what somebody's got to say and the word of God and men and women of God that have such a word to proclaim, and people just, that's not important. And it shows in your life. It shows in how you live. It shows in how you walk. It shows in your attitude that it's just not important to you. Faith can only come by hearing the word of God, reminding you of who you are. Maybe as a kid you grew up with a very negative parent, and their whole life they told you, you're nothing, you're nobody, I hate you, you disgust me, wish you wasn't born, whatever. Things like that. Maybe you heard that growing up. Did that impact you? Of course it did. Why didn't pack? Oh, I love his kids speaking up. That's awesome. I know. So, of course it impacted you. Why? Because you heard it growing up. You heard it, and it formed in how you behaved as an adult if you heard all that negative junk. You know, if you were a woman that got abused throughout your life, maybe at some point, it affected how you are around men. It affects how you treat men, how you feel about men, because it was a pattern that was formed because that's what you were around growing up. Just the opposite. If you were a kid growing up and your mom and dad invested in you and told you how much they loved you every day and how special you were and that you could do anything you wanted to do and we will always be here for you and we love you unconditionally, you know what that does? It also forms a pattern because that's what they heard their whole life. When it comes to our spirit man, what we are hearing is what we become. And if we're always hearing anti-God messages and all we're absorbing is the immorality of this country and all of this junk, and we're not allowing the Word of God to come in, we have nothing to fight that with. Nothing. The Bible tells us to remind each other and to encourage each other with the return of the Lord. It says to admonish one another and to remind each other that there is a day coming that we will see Him and that He is coming to establish His kingdom. This isn't always it. To encourage one another with that. That's in the Bible too. Do you know that? We're to encourage one another. This Bible has got so much information. One of my favorite places that years ago I found that I love is Proverbs 3 and 5, where it says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding. Acknowledge Him and He will direct your paths." That's a pretty powerful nugget. That's in your Bible. So we got to hear the Word. To build our faith, we got to hear the Word of God. We're here 3 times a week, and some people never come. Or they say, if I happen to miss a service, you know, I'm on vacation or something, they got the audacity to say, "I came to church, you wasn't there." Really? Oh, okay. Well, I'm here 3 times a week, pretty much, you know, except for a couple Sundays a year. 3 times a week. We offer that, not out of tradition, church. We offer it because we want people to have a chance to come hear the Word. You know, and that's, you know, that's really the main reason we started a Sunday night service, was we wanted people that couldn't be here Sunday mornings or that worked or whatever, or just couldn't get out of bed because you're too lazy. We offered a Sunday night service for people to be able to come out in the evening. And that's why we did that. Wednesday night's a great service. If you're not coming on Wednesday, you're missing a great service. Wednesdays are wonderful. They're great teaching on Wednesday nights. Thank you, Georgia. My endorser back there. She is not getting paid, I promise, for the endorsement. This is on her own free will. But we offer 3 services for people to hear the Word. And I actually, you know, I talked to people, and I talked to somebody recently. I said, "Well," said, "the work schedule's changed where I can't get there on Sunday mornings." Okay, well, we got Sunday night, and we got Wednesday night. So if we can't be here Sunday mornings, people just cut it all off. We want to be here so that people can hear the Word of God. We want to be here to offer people a chance to be here. I understand Sunday nights are hard. Wednesday nights are hard if you work and raising kids. I mean, I got kids in school. I understand all that. I know Sunday nights are a lot of family time for many of you, and I appreciate that and honor that. And don't expect you to be here if that's where you want to be with your family. That's very important. I'm just saying I'm offering 3 services a week where a lot of churches don't do that. There's a lot of preachers get paid more than me that preach 1 time a week. I can tell you that. I know. I'm like, "You make that? You got 1 service a week? Yep, Sunday morning. Man, how many times do you preach? 3? Really? I wouldn't work for that." I'm trying to be here to offer the Word. Have a desire. You know, like Melanie was talking about, we ought to have a desire to learn about what this Word says. This Word is truth. Doc Lee's been on this earth for quite a few years. He ain't real old, but he's older than me. Doc served in the Marine Corps. He has worked different jobs. He has lived all over the country. He's visited many places. Doc has raised kids and been married. Still is married, right? Okay. And, Doc, you still believe this Word of God is as true as it was the day you got saved? And that's been, you got saved, what, in your 30s? 40. So Doc's been saved for many, many years. I mean, well, not that many, but, you know, for several years. And Doc believes this Word is just as real as it was. Even when your kids let you down, you believe it's truth, right? I'll tell you something about Doc. I said this before, but if you don't know, you always see the funny side of Doc, the way he looks and the way he acts. But Doc has got a very serious side when it comes to God. And he does believe in this word of God as truth. No matter what storms he's faced and what he has seen happen, he believes God's word is truth. Church, we shouldn't be letting go of God's word as we progress in life. We should be embracing it more and more. We should be getting deeper in it, not out of it. And there are so many Christians that are just that are getting more out of it than more into it. Because, just like the clip we played last Sunday night, because people are trying to form a God that justifies their sins. Trying to form a God that is okay with these things. God is faithful and God is God. He changes not. He's not going to change because you want him to change. And you can sin all you want and say, well, God understands. Yeah, well, he may understand, but he don't approve. You're not going to make God change his position. He is God. Go to the next verse. Point five, we cannot allow circumstantial changes to affect our trust in God. No storm in life changes who God is. He is faithful. How many times do we allow circumstances? I'm talking to me, too. I'm so talking to me. Because, church, I'm weak. Man, I am so weak. So many times. We allow circumstantial changes to affect our trust in God. We correlate that. Just like Grandma sung Wednesday night, God in the mountain, God in the valley. Man, when things are good, we just got a raise in our job, we're working overtime, the bills are paid, the kids are actually acting like they got some sense, the wife kissed you three times this week, life is good. Hopefully you still want your wife kissing you. Life is good. So, your faith's good. But then the bottom drops out. Your husband cheats on you. You lose your job. Kid gets arrested. All of a sudden, things have changed. Has God changed? Not at all. Should our faith in God change? Not at all. We don't serve God, or we shouldn't serve God based on conditions. We shouldn't serve God, and many people serve God based on what he does for them. I'll serve you, God, but as long as you do this for me. But when you stop doing this, I don't know. We don't say it with our mouth, maybe we live with our lives. I've talked to a lot of people who got out of church because they got hurt and they blame God for something. Man, God saved our lives. Jesus rescued us. We can never, ever pay back the debt he paid for us. We have an eternal future waiting, church. I want you to picture this. Picture right now, I know some of you now are going through some physical issues, sickness, and pain. Maybe right now you got so much pain in your body, it's hard to even sit where you are. You're discouraged in your mind. You have no hope. Some of you may be on medication just for the anxiety and stress. Think about a day. Think about a portal that's just waiting on you. That when it comes your time, and it won't be that long, especially for Doc. It won't be that, just play it, Doc. It won't be that long. That portal is going to open. And we're going to walk through something very special. And all of what we suffer here is going to be gone. And we are going to be completely and finally changed. That's what's waiting on us. That's what if God never did anything else for us, church, if we had to live in a cardboard box and eat beanie weenies every night with stale crackers and dirty water, sorry, sounds kind of good. I'm hungry right now. If we had to eat that every day, it shouldn't change how we serve God, because we have a promise waiting on us. There will be a day our change is coming, and we will never be in hell, we'll never suffer death, and we'll never be separated from God, ever. The Bible says that too, if you don't know that. The Bible says that nothing can separate us from the love of Christ. Death can't. Life can't, angels can't, principalities, powers, things present, things to come, nor any other creature shall separate us from his love. When we hear things like that, we get encouraged, or we should get encouraged. I'm going to tell you, the message I'm preaching is a lot better than one of these messages. Folks, if you just invest $125, you'll reap so-and-so in this. And I'm not talking about religion, I'm talking about business. Because, man, we hang on to that kind of stuff, boy. We want to know how to make an extra buck, don't we? We'll be glued to a commercial. Oh, my. Make money from your home and don't even have to wake up. Yeah. Sure. It's that easy. Yeah. I mean, how many of you get excited and got buy one, get one free? Oh, you're like a puppy. I mean, really? We get excited. They've marked this down. Oh, my gosh. They marked this down. We get all excited with that kind of news. The greatest news in the world's in this Bible. That's the greatest news in the world. We are saved from hell and death forever. God does not remember our iniquities. He has cast them as far away as the east is from the west. We are forgiven now, tomorrow, and forever because he has blotted out the handwriting of ordinances upon his cross, the Bible says. He has canceled the debt, canceled the note, and we no longer owe anything because Jesus paid it for us. Man, that's the word of God. When we hear that, we get encouraged. Don't let anybody take that away from you. Don't let circumstances change your life. Look at Lamentations. You might have heard of this book, some of y'all. Lamentations in the Old Testament. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. His compassions and faithfulness is constant, whether we are or not. I think how many times I have failed God, how many times I've done things I shouldn't have done, how many times I've, you know, gotten away and gotten discouraged and gotten afraid and you know, letting the devil win that mind battle. And he always wins some of those battles. He always wins. I don't care how strong you are. Don't let nobody hear. I don't hear nobody here say, I'm always good, man. I'm always good. No, you're not, you big liar. We're not always good. If you're always good, you're not in this world. You own something. That's all I got to say. Because you're not in this world if you're always good. Because things aren't always good. But God is always good. And God is always faithful. And we cannot allow our circumstance to change how we treat God or how we worship or how we give. I love that one, how we give. I can always tell when I preach good, the offering's better. Y'all think I'm playing? Oh, I must not preach good today, low offering. We don't serve God or give because of performance. God is faithful. We give unto God of our money, of our service, of our worship. We ought to walk in here every time. And when the music begins to play and we all begin to worship, don't matter how you feel. It don't matter. Well, I don't know. Light crowds. So I don't want to worship. I ain't in the mood. Too cold. I gotta cover up. Too hot. Sweating. I can't worship. I can't concentrate. You know? Or, I already like that song. Well, you know, you're worshiping God. You can like God. You can like any song if it's sung to God. I mean, you can like any song. I can rap a song if it's to God, y'all like it. Yo, yo, God, you're in the house. I thank you, Lord, you clean my house. Thank you for repenting and dying on the cross, and now, Lord, I'll never be lost. I mean, we can worship God in anything if it's sung to God. That's why we have words up here now for song. We try to have words because how can you read those words and not be moved? And we'd pick songs. Now, I know, church, and we'd always been this way. I know we don't do hymns. I don't do songs 100 years ago. I mean, we can do a mix. I know those bring back memories. Some of them are okay. But we want to sing songs that promote the glory and the presence and the power of God. I mean, I'm going to tell you, none of y'all would pay to go see a country concert where every song made you feel depressed. You want dancing. You want upbeat music. You want to be able to clap your hands. You want to be able to say, yeah. Oh. Yeah, that's what y'all want. But we come to church, we want songs like, I don't know how I be, but Jesus. I mean, really? My Lord. Man, we're celebrating the Lord. And so we try to come into his presence with thanksgiving and with praise and uplifted music that builds our faith and that excites the atmosphere and something you want to be a part of. That's why I just want to explain, that's why we do that. There's some good old songs. I'm not saying that, but man, I would die in some churches with some of the music they have. I'd die. I mean, man, I want songs that put me toward God, not maybe not want to be there. Go back to drinking. Not back. I ain't never drunk. I'm just kidding. Save y'all listening. Go to the next. Is that it? Oh. That's my last one, right, Jeremy? Storms will come to all of us. But if we are in Christ Jesus, we will all pass to the other side. Church, we're crossing over. As Christians, we're crossing over. We are going to make it. We are going to see our prize. We are going to bow before our King. We're going to be one of the ones Revelation talks about where they were surrounded around the throne, thousands upon thousands, singing, "Worthy is the Lamb. Hallelujah to the Lamb. Glory be to God." We are going to be in that place and see our Redeemer face to face forevermore. We're going to pass over if we are in Christ Jesus. So, what about those that aren't in Christ Jesus? They pass over too, but not the side we're going. Because when truth came and they rejected truth, they denied truth, then they become recipient of what they had denied. It's important we realize storms doesn't mean God's against you. And storms doesn't mean you're not saved enough or holy enough or living right enough or giving enough. Man, storms, I've lost some good, dear friends of mine. I've lost two minister friends of mine in the last 7 or 8 years. Two close minister friends, young, both of them in their 50s, pastors that were godly men that loved the Lord. It's not fair they passed on, not my eyes. It's not fair they passed on. They had many more years, from in my point of view, to preach, to love, and to help me. Thanks, guys. But you know what? They've got their reward. And I wouldn't want them back here for nothing. Man, they, in fact, Pastor Henderson, Doc knows Pastor Henderson. He died at, 53, 54 years old? He had cancer. And I went to his house. My friend Bill called me and said, "James, they're saying it's not going to be long. If you go see him, you need to go see him." So I told Bill, I said, "I need to go by his house." You know, he finally called me and said, "James, he's bad. I mean, he probably won't make it up a few more days. You need to go see him." So I went to his house. I walked in the room, me and Melanie. I wasn't expecting it. He had a hospital bed right there in his living room. Couldn't talk. He was so weak. He'd lost so much weight. And I went to him. I took his hand. His wife was in the room. Mindy was in the room, his daughter, and a few other people. And I'm very thankful that they kind of went on. So it was just me and Brother Henderson. And Doc, I looked at him, and I just felt my heart to say, and I don't normally do this to people. I mean, I'm a man that prays, you know, rise up and walk, you know, Lord, heal him. But I took his hand, and I looked at him. I said, "Brother Henderson, your work here is done. Don't be afraid to let go. Go on home. He's waiting on you." I got a call 3 hours later that night. He'd passed away. He began to cry, and I told him, that tears coming out of his eyes, and I said, "Your work is done. Go on home. They'll be all right." He was so weak and so tired of being sick. And then 3 hours later, get a call. I wouldn't want him back here for anything. It hurts all of us. It hurts his family. He's got two children. It hurts his family. But you know what? He's received. He's crossed to the other side. And man, we're going to all be there too when it's our time. When that trumpet sounds for us, we're going to see him face to face. Don't let any storm dictate how you serve God. It's not based on what he does for you, how we serve him. It's not based on that, church. If we base how we serve God, how we give to God, how we worship, how we come to church, we're going to live a miserable life apart from him. God is faithful. You know, there are some of you in this church, and I want you to know I so appreciate it. There are some of you that are here 3 times a week. There's a core of people. We've got probably 30 to 35 people that are here 3 times a week. I know everybody can't be here 3 times a week, but I want you to know I honor your faithfulness, and I thank you for that. And the ones that are here more than Sunday mornings are the ones that are growing in their faith. Growing. Every service is different. Understand this. I don't copycat any service. Don, is every service not different? Every service is completely different, isn't it? So I'm not going to ever copycat one or just pull something off the shelf for Sunday night. Well, I'm tired. I'll just pull an old one out. Sometimes, you know, I got to be like Job and not listen to my wife. It's been, man, I was like, I'll just pull an old one out. You preach, I mean, you preach 1,000 messages. Pull an old one out for a night. They ain't heard it in 2 or 3 years. I say, honey, I'll pull one out if God speaks, but I got to have something fresh for who will be here. And so I encourage you to be in church on a more regular basis and grow. I mean, grow, church. We can't grow hitting and missing all the time. It takes consistency. If you went to work and much you come to church, you'd be broke. What do you mean my check's only $100? You only work 3 days this month. So, I mean, let's be consistent. And you know, we don't, you know, I get you out on time. I mean, y'all need to thank God for that. I grew up kind of Pentecostal, and I don't preach Pentecostal-type services because y'all be here 3 or 4 hours. I mean, I've been in services 3 or 4 hours. I know. I appreciate it. Like, I got a few in here. That's all right. Y'all can stay there. Let's go eat lunch. We'll keep on preaching. So, I know. So I try to be respectful of your time. I really do. And when it's time, I don't just get up here and just go on and on and on like I am now. So we'll close out. Don't let the storms affect your life. You will pass through this storm, I promise you. You will pass through this storm. That is my message. Appreciate you being attentive and listening. And we will, of course, be here tonight as always if you want to be with us. We'd love for you to join us. If I can get the ushers to come up, give you a chance to give your offering to the Lord this morning, chance to support this ministry and give unto God. Casey, good to see you, darling. Who's that with you? Your mama. Hey, mama. Nice to have y'all. You got any of your kids with you? Did you bring them? Okay, good. I need one more usher. Thank you, David. Just a reminder, if you do write a check, make sure you know the name of the church. It is Living Word Ministries. So, or you just put LWM, and it'll be cash same way if you'll put LWM. Lord, we thank you for this service and this word. We thank you that you are faithful. Lord, I pray that our faith is increased in here. All of us that heard this message, that our faith's been increased. We don't serve you based on circumstances. We don't serve you based on what storm comes our way. We serve you in the storm, through the storm, before the storm, after the storm. We just serve you. You are faithful. Let us be faithful to you, God, that we realize you're going to take care of us. You're going to see us through. We're not alone, and we are going to cross to the other side. Thank you for your blessings on our lives. Thank you for life itself. I pray you bless this seed and this offering and use it for your glory and bless the hands that give. In Jesus' name, amen.